Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 4th of April. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm joined in the studio by Gary Waite on the panel this morning. But first of all, let's have a look at what's making the front pages in the UK. The death of Nigel Lawson is featured on several of the front pages this morning, including the Daily Telegraph, which describes him as Thatcher's tax slasher. It carries a tribute from its former editor, Charles Moore, who said Lord Lawson's courageous reforms allowed Britain to flourish. The Times pictured Lord Lawson holding a red box and says he was arguably the most influential of Britain's post-war Chancellors, a statement which is echoed in the Eye. The Daily Express remembers him as a fearless giant of the free market. The sentencing of Thomas Cashman for the murder of Olivia Pratt Corbell in Liverpool dominates the tabloids. The Metro has the headline Gutless, pointing out that the gunman refused to face the girl's family in court. The Daily Mirror and the Daily Mail describe his actions as cowardice, and he got a similar sentence in The Sun. The Daily Express says that Cashman got a sentencing of life for Olivia's life. The Guardian leads on its ongoing investigation into claims of sexual misconduct at the CBI and says the business group is now in turmoil. The paper has heard from more than a dozen women who either work at the organisation now or have done in recent years. One has alleged that she was raped at a staff party on a boat on the Thames in 2019. The CBI has expanded its investigation into the allegations and said it treats all matters of workplace conduct with the utmost seriousness. The Times claims that Home Secretary Suella Braverman could announce as early as today that a deal has been struck to house migrants on a barge off the Dorset coast. Paper says the vessel will be able to accommodate more than 500 people at a cost of more than £2,000 a day, and the plan will be challenged in the courts. Home Office says it's looking at a range of options to house migrants to move them out of expensive hotels. The conviction of Philip Schofield's brother for sexually abusing a teenage boy makes several of the front pages. Timothy Schofield, 54, was found guilty yesterday of 11 offences over a period of 3 years. The Mail says the TV host was guaranteed leave from work so he could cope with the court case out of the public eye. The Sun and the Mirror quote Philip Schofield as saying the crimes were despicable and that he no longer has a brother. And an investigation into the Telegraph has found that some burglars have been convicted of up to 27 break-ins before they are eventually jailed. Data from Freedom of Information requests in England and Wales also shows that criminals can be convicted of up to 8 knife offences before being sent to prison. The Telegraph says the figures expose the scale of soft justice. Those headlines again, top of my pile today, lots of pictures of Lord Lawson on this morning. The Express, though, leads with 42 years, life for Olivia's life. Meanwhile, the Metro leaves with gutless. Olivia's murderer avoids facing her family as he gets 42 years. The Mirror, Mum's bravery and the cowardice of a killer. The Daily Mail, I keep thinking I've forgotten to pick up Olivia from school. I just miss hearing her voice. That's mother's heartbreaking tribute as killer is jailed for 42 years. The Sun, pedo sibling guilty. Phil, I no longer have a brother. The Daily Telegraph, Nigel Lawson, Thatcher's tax slasher, dies at 91. It's their headline. UK summer holidays hit by passport delays after new strikes. That's the Eye. The Times, over half of voters say Starmer still lacks vision. A Labour leader insists that he will be ruthless. That's an interview with Sir Keir Starmer. It's front page. Meanwhile, revealed, CBI in turmoil following new claims of sexual misconduct. That is on the front of The Guardian. Financial Times reads with EY banned from German audit work for 2 years after Wirecard scandal. This is EY being banned from taking on any new clients over a failure for collapsed payments group Wirecard. Germany's audit watchdog, APAS, also announced a half a million euro fine for EY. And finally, the Daily Star reports that the late Queen's corgis are no longer grieving over her death. That's according to the Duchess of York, who is now looking after them. The paper says the Duchess told BBC Radio 2, they're great and their tails have gone up now, so I think that they are over their grief. And those, for better or worse, are your headlines. This Tuesday, the 4th of April.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
The weather forecast is brought to you by Liberty Seguros. Liberty Seguros gives you now €50 cash back for every new car, home, or life insurance policy you take out. But hurry, this offer is valid until the 27th of June only.
The weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
And a quick look at your weather. Costa del Sol, 15 degrees, mixture of sunshine and clouds. 7 degrees in Granada, it's cloudy. 14 degrees, lengthy sunny spells in Almeria. Murcia, 12 degrees and overcast, sunny later. Alicante, 12 degrees, lengthy sunny spells. Denia, 10 degrees and sunny. Over on the islands, Ibiza, 15 degrees and mainly sunny. Mallorca is 11 degrees and mainly sunny. Some thunderstorms expected. Gibraltar, 16 degrees on the rock, overcast, sunny interval. Later on, though, and that is your weather.
The weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
952 78 4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Gary Waite. Good morning to you, Gary.
Good morning, Giles.
It's been a while since we graced us with your presence.
I would have thought you'd redecorated by now, but you haven't.
Personally, yeah, I have. Look at me. I'm absolutely suited and booted today, and I'm amazing. Well, you dressed for the weather. Well, it surprised you, didn't it?
Well, you see, first of all, I was up a bit earlier than normal, as you can imagine.
Was it the pressure of coming on the radio? Was it the pure excitement?
No, it's the journey, and having now moved to the other end of the world,
right.
I'll come in for a bit longer. And I thought, the sun was up, I mean, it was there, and it was a bit cloudy. I thought, oh, well, it's going to get warm again like yesterday. So here you are, short-sleeved shirt, no socks.
Exactly, white trousers, looking like the man from Del Monte.
Yes. Yes, it'll be all right. It'll warm up in a minute, I'm sure.
I'm sure it will, and I'm sure the callers will warm it up as well. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Of course, the main story is this historic morning, I suppose, with President Donald Trump flying into New York from his Mar-a-Lago base to face criminal charges. This whole thing with hush money being paid to Stormy Daniels. Say what you like about Trump. There's never been a president like him.
Well, and I think that, you know, I was one of these people that I remember sitting having lunch years ago before he got elected with a few friends in La Salle, and I took a 50 Eurobet with a colleague of mine, who we both know. And I said, he'll win. He said, no. He said, and I'll tell you what. I said, I'll give you another 100 because you have two terms. Right. Well, I lost out on the second term.
Yes. Oh, you mean you can get back to back?
Current, yeah. So nothing surprises me. I mean, you know, people, it's like Boris. You know, people are fed up with boring politicians. And, you know, Trump just stirs emotions with people, whatever you think about him. We all know that he's complete. Well, you can't call him an idiot, but he's a complete buffoon, a bit like Boris. But they have an attraction to people, and especially in America. And again, it's why do people cover up things that are not that bad? Why didn't he just say he had an affair with Stormy Daniels? And he paid her off.
Well, I think there are a few bits and pieces, obviously. I mean, the whole thing with his... I mean, wasn't it Melania had just given birth to Baron, or Baron, or however you want to pronounce it. So he was like 9 months old or something. So it's the whole situation of, you know, he doesn't want... Because of his supporter base, I suppose he wants to be seen as... Anyway, orange, I'm going to say whiter or white or more orange than orange. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costablanca.
Good morning, Kate.
A comment on a cartoon yesterday was, quote, Mr. Trump, you cannot run in 2024 because you were elected in 2016 and said yourself you were elected in 2020. The Constitution says you can only be president twice.
Right, but he can become president again. I mean, that's the thing.
No. You see, if he, the fact is that a fair proportion of his time, like Boris, he lies. He keeps on pushing this line that he was elected in 2020.
Yes, of course.
It's a nice little joke, or could be used quite definitively. But the most serious thing is that he seemed to be trying to overthrow the result of the 2020, and that's possibly going to be the most serious allegation against him.
The whole Capitol Hill riot and storming, yes, and insurrection, etc.
And also about phoning one of the asking could they not find another 7,000 voters or something.
Yes, indeed.
And that is the most serious one.
Yeah.
There's evidence that he did that.
And subverting the course of a free and democratic election, quote unquote.
Yes. I would have thought that was quite heavy. So going on to the Stormy, whatchamacallit?
Daniels, apparently, allegedly. Don't Google it, for goodness sake.
It's obviously a Stormy in a teacup. Really.
Oh, Tish Boom.
Oh,
Gary. Cheers. Yes, thanks very much. 952-784-4000 to the WhatsApps we go. Flourish at the expense of the poor. This is going back to... Excuse me about that. Flourish at the expense of the poor, says Richard. Good morning to you. $500,000 fine for the German company. That's chump change. That's their stationery budget for the quarter gone. I want a competent MPM. I want a competent prime minister, not an entertaining one, which is the thing to Boris Johnson. It's interesting to see how Trump is framing this. Witch hunt, he's saying.
Just back to Boris, by the way. I think if COVID hadn't have happened, I mean, that knocked every single leader of the free world. I mean, COVID was the most disastrous thing. You know, up until then, I think Boris would have actually sailed through it, and he would have won with a massive majority this time round when he goes to the next general election. So I think that's probably the saddest thing about it. Regarding to Trump, you know, where there's Trump, there's trouble. I mean, he will always be this figure that is going to cause a ruck, mainly, as Kate said, because he is a liar. I mean, it's not that they're lying purposely, they just can't tell the difference.
Are we talking sort of the frog and the scorpion situation here? You know, when the frog carries the scorpion across the thing and it stings it.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think he's going to get away with it. I mean, it's a bit like the O.J. Simpson. We all know he did it, but he's going to get away with it. And I think Trump's going to find himself in the same situation. I mean, how can they... I mean, they can't put him in prison. I mean, you can't. It just never happen. Americans wouldn't have it anyway. I mean, already he's going to use his mugshot from the New York Police Department in his campaign.
To say, yeah, I mean, as the master of sort of spinning and reimagining putting his peculiar version of events through, I mean, this was, presumably, this could work really well for him.
It will.
Because when he comes back and he's running for the Republican nomination, I mean, he could almost run as an independent at this point, but... The thing is, for those who believe that it's deep state, it's everything's being controlled, he wants to clear the swamp, etc. This would just add fuel to the fire for his supporters that there is the forces, a witch hunt, as he said before, as he wrote yesterday on his Truth social platform, and they'll say, this is absolute evidence that I am being ganged up on by the establishment, and so a vote for me.
Well, his popularity has gone up, I think 30% in the last 6 months. So yes, I mean, he's not only is he going to get away with it, I might be able to collect my 100 quid from Pete when I see him, because he might get in again.
Yeah, I mean, but it does say something about the state of American politics, where he has absolutely got, sort of lassoed or got this huge groundswell of opinion, and it's now they're saying, what's it? It's not Make America Great Again. It's Fix America Again. That's implying that in the whatever years since Biden's been in charge, they have broken everything that Trump claims that he started and got going.
But what a disaster with Biden. I don't know. My American politics always makes me smile anyway, because I don't think they know what they're doing the best of times. But I have to say that I've been reading and looking a lot at Reagan and how good he was and what a great entertainer he was. Now, there was a guy who could do both. I mean, some of his speeches and his jokes were absolutely amazing. And he puts Trump in the shade when it comes to that sort of thing. But he was a good president, at least if you're a Republican.
Reagan was a politician for his time. If you think of what the triumvirate of him, Gorbachev, and Thatcher, which I was speaking about yesterday, and at the time in his empire of evil comments against the former Soviet Union, I mean, they seem sort of interesting. Now, 952-784-1000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, looking at pictures of Save America flags and Trump, Save America, President Donald Trump. So it's going to be, again, polarizing once again. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. 952-784-1000, the phone number. As I said before, Trump is 76, is the first ex-US president to face a criminal case. Witch hunt, the Republican wrote on his Truth social platform, shortly before traveling from his home in Florida to New York yesterday, a journey which drew blanket coverage across the US. U.S. news channels. This morning, dozens of police and court officials, as well as Secret Service agents, are expected to escort him through the streets of New York to the Lower Manhattan court complex. The charges he faces will be disclosed in full at the hearing, which is scheduled for around 14:15, quarter past two local time. That is 8:15 Spanish time, if I can remember correctly. His lawyers have already said he'll plead not guilty. The former president is expected first to surrender at the office of the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg. He'll then be arraigned in court, meaning the charges will be read out and he will plead. This is, of course, over a $130,000 wire transfer by former attorney Michael Cohen to the aforementioned Stormy Daniels before the 2016. He's a general election. He has denied a sexual encounter with Ms. Daniels. Now, hush money agreements are not illegal, so this is where it gets interesting, but the Manhattan prosecutor has been investigating whether business records were falsified in payment, and he faces at least one felony charge in the case, according to US media. Other reports suggest there are about 30 counts in his indictment. if you think about it, though, with things that bring the good, the famous, the infamous down, it's always the small, it's never the grand sweeping misdemeanors that get them. And it's the technicalities. You think, sort of, you know, Capone was brought down because of tax evasion, for example. I mean, it's this is the small one about falsifying business records. And that could be the thin end of a way.
That's the whole point. I mean, we don't know what the other 29 charges are, really. All right, we know there's the incite to riot. There's trying to bribe. I don't think he even bribed. I think he just asked for 11,700 odd votes from Alabama or wherever it was. And then on top of that, you've got the Stormy Daniels thing. But if it is something like, I mean, VAT fraud would probably be enough to put him down. Because that, you know, customs and excise and revenues, they've got more power than courts or anybody else, even in the States. I mean, over here it's the same, in the UK it's even more. That they are stronger and more powerful. So if he has done something like that, then the chances are that they may well have a fine, quite a huge one, and maybe a suspended sentence.
And as we were saying about the whole situation with this being, you know, in a funny kind of way, good for Trump, $8 million he's raised, his campaign's raised since last week.
Yeah.
Because people, it's the concept of tele-evangelicals, isn't it? You know, pledge now, hit this number, to help save Donald Trump.
Well, he is almost like that, isn't he? He is almost like a cult leader or an evangelical Bible basher, yeah.
952-784-1000. At a news conference yesterday, New York City Mayor Eric Adams warned any potential rabble-rousers, his words, not mine, to, quote-unquote, control yourselves. So the New York Police Department are obviously on high alert because of what we saw in Washington, of course, on January the 6th that year. Meanwhile, there's a Georgia Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, planning to hold a pro-Trump rally near the court today. But New York officials said they haven't seen any influx of protesters to the city in recent days. President Joe Biden, who, as you say, has been a bit quiet recently, at an event in the state of Minnesota yesterday, told the reporters he had no concerns about unrest in New York, saying, "I have faith in the New York Police Department."
Well, we'll see if he's right then.
Yeah, well, we will see if he's right indeed. There's numbers to get in contact with. Your thoughts on President Trump?
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's to the WhatsApps we go. Richard, good morning again. Fortunately for Donito, otherwise known as the orange one, known as Donald Trump, he has many useful idiots who are very happy to donate their tiny savings to support him. Donito believes he was indicated. Okay, Gary knows a little about US politics, but he knows that Biden is terrible. Okay, then. Let's not forget that Donito being up for crimes is not a novelty. In the past 5 years, he was forced to dissolve his university for fraud and pay a $25 million fine, dissolve his foundation for fraud and pay a $2 million fine, pay $110,000 for contempt of court, and pay $1.6 million for tax fraud. His fans are cultists. They've all been drinking the Kool-Aid. Another one coming in, Ian. Great point regarding Trump, Kate. Neat way of being condemned by your own mouth. And hi, Giles team. It's the lie that brings them down. But who hasn't lied? That's from David in Kettering. Indeed, 952-78-4000 your thoughts on Trump or anything else that is crossing your radar. We will wait to see how this one plays out during the day, of course, and it's bound to be all across the media. Mike Pence put his head above the parapet and said that the indictment sent a terrible message to the world about American justice. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, said the weaponization of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head. And he said he would not assist if there was a request to extradite Mr. Trump from Florida to New York. So, you know, the visions of Trump claiming political asylum in Mar-a-Lago or a Largo, perhaps.
Of course, again, because there's a ridiculous system in the state, in the states of individual states, he could probably do that. He'd probably just say, no, I don't have to come. Don't know what will happen then.
Mm. One John McGuigan, a diehard supporter, said he thinks the court case will help Mr. Trump's presidential campaign. He said those who are already convinced Donald Trump is the devil incarnate are not going to be affected by the outcome, nor will the staunch Trump supporters. But he thinks for those voters who were somewhere in the middle, this may end up being more of an asset than a detriment for Trump's 2024 campaign. 9524,000. President of the United States, the next one, Joe Biden. Here we go. So, Sleepy Joe, as he puts him, 2-1. The Tangerine Scream, which I think is brilliant, 3-1. RDS, 9-2. So those are the odds. 9524,000. Any thoughts on Trump or any other issue? Take a quick break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, joined in the studio by Gary O'Wait. If you want to get your viewpoint across this morning.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
9527 84,000 is the phone number. Joined in the studio by Gary Waite. We're talking because last week was the decision to moving away from Trump. Was the decision to by the international courts to put Vladimir Putin put an arrest warrant out for Vladimir Putin. Your thoughts on that, Gary?
Well, I think we mentioned it last week. What are they going to do? Drive up with a Black Mariah and say, you're under arrest? I mean, apart from the fact, I don't know anybody knows where he is. He's got about four doppelgangers that he uses. He could put one of them into the Black Mariah and let them take him away.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's very silly. I know in the Nuremberg trials it worked. But only after a long period of time, and of course during the Bosnian war crimes. But it took a long time to get him. I think the only way we can stop Putin is to get rid of him. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Well, it's as simple as easier said than done.
Well,
Gary.
It's easier than arresting him.
Yeah, but you as a fully functioning democracy, you can't.
It's not a fully functioning democracy.
No, I'm talking about if you're a Western power, a fully functioning democracy, you can't arbitrarily order CIA notwithstanding.
I was going to say, hang on a second. What did we do with a load of them over the years? When they need to go, they have to go. And if the Americans can't do it, the English will have to get in and do it with them. But I don't know. I just think he's... And if you know anything about families that live there, I've got friends, Ukrainian friends, and I've got Russian friends who don't speak to my Ukrainian friends now.
Mm.
Which, and one of them had been friends with one of my friends for years and years and years and years. But they're from the Crimea as well.
So that, yeah.
They have a different aspect and an attitude towards the Russians and the Ukrainians. But the Ukrainians, I just think the fight that they're putting up. I mean, there was a great interview on TV the other day. I don't know whether you saw it, but it was Bear Grylls, and he was with Zelensky. He went over to be with Zelensky.
Really? Yeah. Bear Grylls with Zelensky?
Yeah. Well, Obama. He's done.
Fair enough. But you know, I would think survival in a hostile environment is something Zelensky could probably teach Bear Grylls about, rather than vice versa.
Well, no, because of course Bear Grylls used to be in the SAS, so he knows a little bit about armed combat.
Right.
He did say in the opening to the program, he said, "I never thought, having left the military 20-odd years ago, that I'd ever be driving into a war zone in Europe again."
Yeah.
You know, it's come as a bit of a shock to him. But his attitude towards Zelensky, that is just I think he's incredible. I really do. I think he's got tremendous. But it'll be another Winston Churchill-like thing. You know, he'll win the war, but he won't win the peace, because once again, he hasn't got an idea what he's going to do after the war, and how are they going to fund the rebuilding of the whole country. And it's no good saying, oh, we're going to ask Putin to pay. I mean, that's another joke.
Yeah.
So he'll win the war, or he will survive the war, whether he wins it or not, I don't know. But after that, I suspect that the country will vote for somebody else.
Well, yeah, but I mean, say they win the war, but at the moment, the war seems like it's going to drag on for a very, very long time indeed.
Yeah. There won't be any elections between then and now. I mean, it's not going to happen, is it? The only thing is, why they didn't let Poland supply them with aircraft at the very beginning, I don't know. And I think that would have helped.
Well, probably. Poland yesterday or the day before said it's sending the first jets are starting to arrive, which may make something of a difference to the situation.
Maybe it's too little, too late. That should have happened at the very beginning.
But again, having to trail very carefully, because at that point we didn't know what was going to happen, whether the Russians were going to steamroll into Kyiv in a matter of days, rather than this sort of long slog that we are seeing now.
Well, the long slog comes more of a shock to Putin than it does anybody else, because he expected to go straight in there, all put their hands up and say thanks, hello Vlad, nice to see you mate, but it didn't work that way.
9527 84000. I believe war crimes is when coming to the WhatsApps. I believe war crimes is an idiotic concept. Surely the whole point of war is to kill. Why does it matter if they kill with a death squad or a feather duster? It is a war, not a football match. Well,
I totally agree with that.
Well,
see?
No, but we're talking about things
like having rules.
War crimes, we're talking about the shooting of unarmed civilians, and we're talking
You
can't say that.
You can't
say that the wholesale slaughter in Bucha is a natural act of war.
No, but if you get people killed during an act of war, like bombing, if you bomb a building where there's a telecoms thing, and there's 400 people in it and they all get killed, but they're only people working at telecoms, you can't call that a crime because, again, as whoever said that on there, totally agree that you can't have rules. I mean,
you're not, yeah, but you can't. We're seeing, we're finding these graves.
No, that's
and we're finding, you know, people find discoveries with bodies with their hands tied behind their backs and shot.
Yes, executions of civilians.
Yes.
Is wrong. Execution of soldiers. Is that wrong?
If you're playing via the Geneva Convention, if we throw the Geneva Convention out, then we might as well go back to full-on barbarity.
Well, that's right. There's nothing civilised about a war at the best of times.
9527 84000. Bear Grylls was never in the SAS. He served in the Territorial Army with the Reserve SAS. Who cares if they are unarmed? The purpose of war is to kill and to wipe out. Well, the purpose of the war is to defeat your enemy, and you can't, you know, if you are rounding up and killing civilians, you are going down a dangerous thing, and that is a war crime in my book. Sorry about that, but there you go. 952-784-000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. But it's going to be, I mean, it took them... Milosevic, it took them how long to bring him to?
7 years?
Was it longer than that? Perhaps longer than that? And again, knowing the way that the former Soviet Union stroke Russians do their business, I think there's little chance of him ever appearing, because I think he would fall out of a very high window before that would ever happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot
of his friends do.
Yeah, well, indeed. Indeed. Defeat your enemy by... Okay. Richard seems to be going on down the total war thing. I mean, we're defeat your enemy by any means possible. Otherwise, they might as well settle it with a game of chess. Yeah, I mean, you can say he's doing that by moving nukes to the talk of moving nuclear weapons to Belarus.
Well, I mean, then we go down a completely different path, don't we?
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
And then we'll have to forget all this NATO rubbish. It'll just have to be, if he starts playing with that, then it's World War and that's it. But then again... I know it's funny, just going back about Trump, but when Kim Jong-un said that he had a red button on his desk, and Trump said, I've got one as well, but mine's a lot bigger than yours.
And he had a special phone he could order Coca-Cola with it as well.
That's, or
for Coca-Cola.
Bell Light.
Yes, indeed.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Just a quick one. If you want to send me WhatsApps, please, I can't take audio WhatsApps on these machines, so you'll have to type it out. I've got a couple of audio messages left here. I'm not Stephen Ritson. More's the pity, some would say. So I can't play any WhatsApp audio. So if you want to send me something via WhatsApp, it has to be text message, or you can phone me, 952-78-4000, being the phone number, if you want to get your viewpoint across, today on this or any other subject that is crossing your radar. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Credit Suisse chairman says he's truly sorry. Thank you very much for that bit of breaking news there. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Of course, it is Tuesday today, so I will be followed by Stephen Ritson, and then, of course, with Europe Today, and then Selena McKenzie with the Lifestyle Show. Hannah Murray joins us for TRE in the afternoon. Howard Burton from 6 until 7 with Spain Today, and then a repeat of this show taking place between 7 and 8. That's all coming, 7 and 9, excuse me. That's all coming up on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Looking forward to your comments on that or any other subjects today. Looking forward to your comments on that on this Tuesday, the 4th of April. Following me, of course, will be Stephen Ritson with Europe Today.
The Remix.
This guy decided to charge his phone by sawing off the end of a 240-volt with wet hands.
A recap of the best interviews of the week.
Gratitude is a very, very powerful emotion. Gratitude is really an affirmation of goodness.
Saturdays from 1 p.m. and Sundays from 2 p.m.
I will cross the sea if my life wasn't dangerous, if I want to see my children having future.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let's move on from these two subjects, because obviously I'm not getting much. Yeah, whatever. We've got the Easter holidays at the moment, which is obviously one of your favourite times, Gary. I know you're a big fan of the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. And we've been seeing some interesting scenes over in the UK, haven't we, with the situation at Dover.
What makes me laugh is a number of people who say, yeah, well, nothing to do with Brexit.
Of course not. It's the French. It's the French.
It's always the French. Yes, I mean, again, I just don't understand why we found ourselves in this situation. I know because everybody, or not everybody, but apparently 52% of the population of Britain wanted out. But nobody really told everybody the problems that would arise from it. We all knew that freedom of travel was going to be a problem. As soon as you put passport security back in to the mix, there's going to be delays. And end of story. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. If you're going to have 50 coaches lined up, and even if it takes 5 minutes per coach, which it takes a lot longer than that, to get anybody on board to check the passports, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that whole, and of course, and we've just been told as well that the come November, I think it's going to get even worse, because you're going to need to be fingerprinted, everybody, and
oh, right,
biometrically scanned.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Oh, yeah, no, that's another little sort of coda, or another little twist in the tale.
Is that a European Union directive?
No, it's something that apparently the British government insisted on as well. Presumably, because it's a two-way thing, so that anybody coming from Europe has to have that done. So it's reciprocal. So it's going to cause even more fun and games at customs.
Well, it's a good job I don't travel very far.
Yeah, indeed. But I've got a feel, and we're going live to the lines again, I've got a feel for those sort of coach parties, and especially kids having to turn back to the 19 hours wait. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE.
I'm Kate Costabranca.
Yes, Kate.
Turn
the radio for me.
When you said that there was 52% were in favour of Brexit, no, there was a cynical attempt by a small proportion of the population, like, you know, less than 1%, to try and protect their offshore attempts to avoid taxation. And the promises for Brexit were totally contradictory. If you try to tie anyone, one of those three particular, I mean, Farage, Johnson and Gove with the three particular stick in mind, they looked stunned when the results were announced. Most people thought, didn't know what they were voting for, because they couldn't, because the offer on the table was totally, it was anything that you didn't like, you could vote against. It was that crazy. It was, I can remember listening to the detailed constitutional issue, consideration by the Irish government for about, I think it was for abortion. And the country went through 2 years of painstaking, detailed examination of what it would be like. And they changed it. The way that Cameron is trying to protect the Conservative vote from the wild claims of Farage and UKIP, he just announced a constitutional change, a proposal for a referendum with its details totally messed, clear, no, the opposite, unclear, was the most irresponsible leader I've known. I mean, he wasn't entertaining, he was just incompetent. He then muddied the groundwork worse by saying, yes, of course, it wasn't, you couldn't, sorry.
Right.
If when people said you can't have just a 50, you know, 49-51 result and call the 51 result successful for this scale of constitutional change. Oh, no, it's just advisory, was the line. And then, as soon as the vote came in at something close to 49-51, that's it. The people have spoken. That was so irresponsible of the political parties. There should have been a defence for a serious consideration of that scale of political change.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call in. 952-78-4000, the phone number. This is from Tristan. Trump has lied about being forced to come over to New York City for arrest and arraignment. He was offered the chance to be arraigned over Zoom from Mar-a-Lago and refused. He's not a martyr. He's a con man. 952-78-4000, the phone number. To the lines we go. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, Giles. It's John in Meeham.
Morning, John.
I've probably said this before, but why are we still fighting the Brexit argument that was sorted out in seven years ago? I mean, we go on and on about it. All due respect to Kate. Okay, she can complain about what happened, but it's not going to change one solitary thing. We're not going to go back in. We're not going to have another election. It's over. It's done. It's a bit like fighting about the fact that I don't agree the French should have invaded England in 1066. It has no bearing on today. We have to get on with it. Good or bad, get on with it.
We have to get... Sorry?
Am I wrong on that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I just think it's people's viewpoint that they think it was, you know, they're not very happy with the outcome and they're allowed to put their viewpoints across, John.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's really they're wasting their effort because it's not going to if it were to change something, I could see it. Yes, agree. If you're going to have an next election, you're going to have some campaigning that somebody should get in or out. Yes, worth the effort whether they're going to get in or not. But to argue about something or go on about something which has happened in 2016, it's not going to change. We're not going to change
with you, John. I agree with you on that. But the thing is, I suppose, from my point of view, I had lots of friends who said, oh, no, come on, let's bring back, get our independence back and all this sort of rubbish, which I understood in principle, but in fact, it wasn't going to work that way. So I suppose when I talk about things like the coaches and everything else at the border, I'm really putting two fingers up to my pals who turned around and said, oh, it won't affect us at all. We live in Spain and we'll still be part of the European Union, until they found they couldn't go backwards and forwards so easily. And now, of course, with 90 days rules and things like that, all brought in by the European Union, their idea of this wonderful utopia of Britain having its own independence back has just shown what a bunch of mistakes were made.
No, but it's rather like, I say, complaining about 1066. It was so long ago, it's happened. And you're complaining, okay, they told lies. Politicians normally do.
Well, that's
right. You're not going to change it. If you were going to change that, if you could say, let's have a campaign so there is free travel, a free travel area between Britain and the EU, yes, worth arguing about. It's like England and Ireland. There's some logic in that argument. But to argue about what has happened and what is done and not say we're going to try and change it or change it, to my mind, doesn't really make much difference.
Well, no, I agree. But in the same instance, we're talking here about just what you're talking about. If there were, there are plenty of campaigns going on behind the scenes, isn't there, by people who are trying to say, you know, this 90-day rule's got to change, this freedom of travel's got to change. And if we had a negotiating standpoint, then some of these things could be achieved, because they don't do anybody any good. I mean, they're detrimental to life, full stop.
No, but with respect, The people that are making it difficult, and I say for you Brits, because actually I'm Irish, the people who are making it difficult for you are the EU, because the EU have put up so many barriers to teach you a lesson for having left, to make sure that nobody else leaves.
No, absolutely, and I totally agree with you.
If I'm Spanish, I can go to England, I can drive forever on my Spanish driving license, or I can change it for a British one with no trouble whatsoever. And I can go there for 180 days straight off in any year. So it's not an impossibility. And from the point of view of, like, the difficulty it's made, my personal view would be is that if people have been loyal to Spain, bought property, spend their money here, and they come back with some, or they live here even, give them honorary nationality, Spanish nationality. They're not going to do that because they're punishing the British for leaving.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave it at that, because you're coming up to the end of the programme and I'm out in the cold.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks very much.
Bye, bye, John. Bye.
952784. But making people automatic Spanish nationals, and that's what I haven't heard before.
I think that if you lived here for a length of time, I think you should be offered nationality. I know you can apply for it. I mean, you and I have been here longer than...
Well, yeah, indeed. Whatever. When Belize is quite a backwater.
You're not a national, are you?
No, I'm not a national.
No. And I always remember my very close Spanish friend who I've known for many, many years. I said to him about 25 years ago, I said, I'm going to get my Spanish nationality. He said, what for? And I said, well, because, you know, I think it would be helpful. He said, listen, if you think being a resident with an NIE is bad enough, you just try and be, a national, because, he said, we suffer even more than you do.
I wouldn't. I mean, us both being autonomos and not Spanish nationals, I think that's pretty high up on Dante's circle of hell, to be perfectly honest with you. So become a Spanish national, you know, it would...
Well, the only difference is, as I've been finding out, if you're a Spanish national, mm-hmm. there are certain obligations they have to do, regardless. Well,
we're not going to do our millie. Don't worry about that, Gary. We're both too old to
no,
sign.
No, that's true. No, but, I mean, there are advantages, and I think John's right, that I think you... I mean, if you apply for your nationality, I think it costs about 400 and something euro to do it. And then you have to answer questions which are fair.
Culture.
Yeah, a bit of culture. Who's the president, prime minister? Who's this? Who's that? And who's the other? And who was the king of Spain? And, you know, and what happened with Franco and all that sort of thing. They are all...
That's a question and a half. We're going live to the lines. We've got 1-2 minutes. What happened with Franco? Thanks for that, Gary. Morning, Coolio, live on TRE.
Morning, Charles. It's Sharon.
Morning, Sharon.
Hello, everybody. I'm
head up with people phoning in and saying they're punishing us because we've been naughty. They're not punishing us. These are rules for third world countries. We should have, if you don't like this, you should have done your research before it all happened to find out what would happen if we voted leave. This is what we do with third world countries, which we are now. They're not punishing us. They're just going around abiding by the rules that are already in place. That's my point. Thank you.
Thanks very much. It just seems a bit old school, isn't it? Saying, oh, it's the Spanish punishing us for leaving the country.
Ridiculous. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Spanish are doing it. It's not the Spanish that are punishing anybody. It's the European Union. And whilst Sharon's got a point, you know, they're not punishing us. What they're doing is they're advocating the rules of the game as they were meant to be played if you are not a member of the European Union.
We've got as many rights as somebody from Mozambique or indeed Rwanda coming here.
Probably less.
Indeed. 952-78-4000. If you are from Mozambique and Rwanda and want to let me know your experience of moving in Spain, we'd love you to hear from you.
Well, I've got loads of guys that work with me, Ghanese.
Yeah.
And of course, they're not members of the European Union, and they fight very hard to get their residency over here, but a lot of them do, and a lot of them work here well for many years.
Right, and coming up to the end of the first half of Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, joined in the studio by Gary Waite. I'll look forward to speaking to you in the second half. 952-78-4000, but the new national and international news is up next.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
95278, back for the second half of Viewpoint this morning. 95278-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Professional. You can WhatsApp me. Yes, you can on +34 645 9967 95. I'm joined in the studio by the well-dressed Gary Waite, as always. Dressed for the weather you want, not for the weather it is.
Absolutely.
What's the old joke? They always said you should dress for the job you want, and I got kicked out of the office because I was wearing my Batman costume. That old one. 952-78-4000. Let's have a look at the some of the WhatsApps. If you want to go completely left field and have a conversation about something else, please, not the environment or something like that, on TRE this morning on the Viewpoint, love to hear from you. But these are some points coming in from Andy. The images of a pouting, strutting megalomaniac despot. That's enough about me. Glorying in the worship of thousands of acolytes. Trump or Benito Mussolini? You're cool. But look what happened to Mussolini. Yes, indeed. I had an interview about a Duce only last week. Meanwhile, good morning, Charles. This is from Chris in Nueva Andalucía. When World War II finished, world leaders should have agreed that all countries can continue to have weapons, armed forces and defence policies solely for the purposes of protecting their own country's borders. Not all use armed forces to expand their country borders or not use, sorry, armed forces to expand their country borders or invade other countries. Call it simplistic thinking on my part, but it's the only way to stop these atrocities ever happening anywhere in the world. Yeah, that's an interesting point. To John and Mijas, when you step in dog excrement, you don't walk around with it all day on your foot. Excrement equals Brexit. That's from David in Kettering. Does Irish John, quote unquote Irish John, not realise that nothing discussed here will change anything? It is a discussion. Why does he pick on Brexit? Meanwhile, here we go. Richard, what would I do without Richard? I ask myself. So here we go. Lehman tells Credit Suisse shareholders that until the end, we fought hard to find a solution, but ultimately there were only two options, deal or bankruptcy. I do because the electorate are gullible morons. The entry exit system, the EES, which is due to start in May 2023, will require all non-EU nationals, That's the Brits, by the way, to register their fingerprints and be photographed before entering the block. It was 37.4% of the electorate that actually voted leave, or 62.53% of the country didn't vote to leave. John mentioned, only an idiot would think that this whole debate is over about Brexit. The EU will join the single market within a decade. Still, the UK is still 12.39% poorer since the EU referendum. And a nice Freudian slip from Sharon. A third nation, she meant, although the UK is a third world nation. Another one coming in. Although the UK is heading towards being a third world country, it is like the USA, Japan, Australia, and many other countries are first world, but treated as third parties for travel and immigration to the Schengen area. IG difference. Okay. And excuse me. I'm old enough. This is Paul. I'm old enough to remember Project Fear and Yellowhammer. Lots of people shouted about it, but it was dismissed as scaremongering by certain politicians and media. We're going to have to move closer to the EU regardless. The Windsor Framework and the anticipated Scientific Horizon Project, I'm not sure about that, another one, are examples. The public will lie to, it's going to take years to fix. Also looking at this breaking news, Finland is set to become the 31st member of NATO. What were your thoughts on this announcement the other week that the UK is now joining a pact with the Pacific nations?
That was always going to be a thing, wasn't it? You're talking about trade relations.
Trade relations, yeah. I didn't mean we're going to twin with Wallabaling or whatever.
Well, go to Hawaii instead of going to England. I mean,
well, you dress for it.
See, look, you're lucky I didn't put shorts on.
Exactly, indeed. They work well on the radio. To ask Ger Sweeney. Anyway.
Yes.
A man, whenever there's a whiff of sunshine, he's late outcoming Joe's legs. Anyway, moving swiftly onwards.
Yeah, no, the country, Britain, has got to deal with as many countries as it possibly can. It's as simple as that. And if you get a better deal with the Pacific nations, then you got to do it. I mean,
but the whole thing about us, you know, here we are, doing a deal with another major trade bloc. Saying, we were members of the EU. That was, that was a massive trade bloc on our doorstep.
But sadly, didn't it? It came with restrictions that people didn't like. And it really, I'd go back to what Kate said about Cameron, because if I remember Cameron's off-the-peg deal, not off-the-peg like Boris.
Oven Ready,
that's right. But no, this one that Cameron was trying to do deal was to keep restrict freedom of movement, which was the whole point that started this, about all the immigrants coming to live in the UK. I mean, that's got nothing to do with the European members of the European Union, because they were hardly immigrants, because they came over and as Poles and Czechs or whatever, and were working their butts off for most part. And the ones that everybody moaned about, like the Ugandans and the Afghanistan, they're still coming over anyway.
Yeah, because this deal hasn't had anything to do with
nothing to affect them at all. I mean, the whole thing is, what we lost is this business about the vegetables and things all being very expensive and short because of the bad weather in Spain.
Well, yeah.
I didn't notice it, and certainly my...
Heaving the local supermarkets, absolutely heaving with tomatoes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a load of rubbish. But what's happened is, of course, the UK can't afford now to grow its own vegetables. I mean, for two or three reasons. One is electricity now in greenhouses makes it impossible. Mm. Otherwise, a green pepper is going to cost like €7 for a green, sorry, £5 for a green pepper.
Yeah.
Whereas, of course, the same would apply to the fact that there's nobody there to pick the vegetables when they do grow.
Well, that was one of the great things, the great ironies of that Pick for Britain campaign that they had. They tried to launch a couple of years ago, and the farmers were saying, you had well-meaning mums saying, well, I can fit in an hour after the school run, not knowing that actually you need to have, a full day in the fields, back-breaking work for very little money. And, it wasn't exactly going to, if they were expecting a whole bunch of people from the council estates to come rushing over or whatever, or the youth to say, yes, I want to get my hands dirty in a field outside Lincolnshire in the kissing rain, wishful thinking.
Yeah, but most of these guys that came over, they were happy for a job and they were happy to work. Excuse me, and they contributed in many ways to to the economy, the British economy. They pay taxes or whatever. Yeah. Sorry to go back to it, John, but, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot, and it's about time people realise.
And this summer I was talking to some Polish friends who work in the hospitality industry, an industry of which you are somewhat familiar, Gary.
Been there, done that,
and, you know, whatever. But they were saying a couple of things. One is obviously hospitality industry is being really heavily impacted in the UK by lack of staff, because, you know, I remember going back to the UK 10 years ago, and everybody in, I was in the Coney and Barrel on Liverpool Street, you know, the Champagne Oyster Bar. You may be familiar with that one, Gary.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And all the staff were Polish. Not a problem with that at all. But they were saying, these Polish friends of mine were saying, A, very few workers in hospitality, and B, the worrying thing was that was the way that they got insulted and treated, because it seems to have emboldened those from the lunatic fringe to have a crack and just generally be downright rude to anybody who, you know, who is, even though people in the UK are complaining because they can't find a decent plumber because all the Poles have upstick and gone back to Poland.
Well, I mean, this is also very true. One of my closest friends, Teresa, who's always been my right-hand woman in restaurants and places we've opened down here for people, and she went back to – well, went back. She moved to the UK because her boyfriend is – her present chap is in the UK, and she's 60. I mean, she doesn't look it, bless her heart. She looks about 45, but she is in her early 60s, and she has had so many job offers. And she said, it's unbelievable. She said, you should come back here. I said, no, thank you very much. I wouldn't be able to wear me shorts.
Exactly, because I haven't got the wardrobe. To the lines we go, 952-78-4000. Morning, Corley, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's Irish John from...
Hello, Irish John. The top of the morning to you again, sir. Every time you see that, you just have to drop in that I've got an Irish passport, and it's like a hair trigger. You must understand that, John.
Well, the reason that I do that is to stop all these people who say, you left, you decided. I didn't. In other words, it's not... I can hopefully give a sort of an independent view on it, because I wasn't Brexit or non-Brexit. Because I wasn't even voting in the UK. But anyway, just going back to that, I just checked to make sure I was right. The 2016 referendum was, in fact, non-binding. So therefore, in hindsight, at the time, what should have happened is that the government should then have negotiated a deal with the EU and then put it back as a referendum. Shall we leave? Yes or no? And that was, in my view, in hindsight, was totally the problem. And on that same thing, all the people now who are really complaining and whatever about Brexit shouldn't have happened or whatever, I wonder how many of those phoned their MP following the referendum result in the UK and said to them, hey, Mr. MP, I don't want to leave. I just want to negotiate a deal.
Well, I don't suppose anybody did, John. That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, going back to what Kate said, I mean, she said it was an advisory vote. It wasn't anything that was meant to be binding. You're dead right. But I think it was such a shock. But to a lot of people, even for Farage, it was a shock that they got a yes vote. But because of this 365 million old cobblers on the back of a bus and what other blatant lies were said, everybody said, oh, well, this is going to be beneficial for us. Nothing's going to change. We're going to get 365 million a day back from the, you know, I mean, it was rubbish.
Okay, Gary, that's history. But the thing is that if all those people who are now really up in arms and are all experts on the fact that they knew they were being misled and lied to, if all of those, half of those, some of those, had actually phoned their MP and said, hey, what the devil was that? Because none of us expected that result. So therefore, let's look at it again properly, because this reason or that reason, they probably wouldn't have gone ahead with leaving. And when I say that, I mean, I didn't phone my MP terribly often either. I phoned the first time ever was when they had the hanging debate. And I wanted to know how my MP was going to vote. Are you voting in favour or against it? So he told me what it was. So then I said, well, incidentally, how many of your 100,000 electorate have actually phoned you to say how you're voting? He said, you're the third one. Now, if nobody bothers to phone their MP to say, hey, Mr. MP, I don't want you doing it that way. This is my view. If they don't do that, then the guy does the best he thinks at the time. So I personally blame the electorate. And to some extent, I don't have too much sympathy with what happened in the end, but I don't have much sympathy with the people who are complaining about Brexit now that they didn't phone their MP in 2016 and get the thing put right. And just on the thing about temporary workers, I understand that the British government can bring in a rule and they can have their fruit pickers and their hospitality staff at any time. They just have to make a rule to let it happen, and they haven't. So that really is for some reason or other, the British Parliament is shooting itself in the foot. Anyway, that's my comment for now, guys.
Thanks very much for that.
Good to
have you with us. Live to the other lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Alf.
Morning to you, Alf.
Morning, Alf.
Hiya, Gary. How are you? Long time no here.
Indeedy. Nice to hear you again.
You said you moved to further climes. Where have you gone now?
No, I just moved further away from Marbella.
Further away from us.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Alf?
Well, it's what John's just done, and that's the part of the problem. People ringing up complaining about what happened. I agree. Well, I agreed with what John said originally. Campaigning for change is different from moaning about what's changed. And, you know, I was one of those that said we should never leave the European Union, but it's happened, so you live with it. That doesn't stop us from saying, and now we need to do something different. And remember, so Cameron was trying to negotiate. No, Cameron was cherry-picking bits of the EU that he thought the Tories would accept and discarding the rest. So freedom of movement, oh, we're not having that. Oh, but we'd love to have this bit of it or that bit of it. So Cameron was just as much to blame. And this is where it becomes complicated, because John said that, and I agree with him, okay? It's called campaigning for change. Anybody can do that. Complaining about what's changed, no. Stop doing it. It's of no value. But he then says things like the referendum was non-binding and this, that and the other, which is not true, right? It was never true, because the Tories had it as part of their election manifesto. It wasn't just something that was, oh, let's have a referendum. It was part of their election manifesto, and it was part of, and you can read it up, it was going to be binding come what may. It was not binding because it was a referendum. It was binding because the Tory party, through Parliament, passed, you know, made a decision in Parliament that it was going to be binding. That's what made it binding. There was no get out. Cameron, if you remember, he stood there and he said, I'm going to live with the outcome of this referendum, whichever way it goes. And, you know, he gets the wrong end of the stick. Brexit gets agreed. Cameron resigns because he had no face left. He had nothing left. He'd campaigned to not leave. He'd campaigned about, oh, we can, you know, negotiate inside of the EU. He'd done all of that. But never told the real truth. And people forget. Yes, a referendum is a referendum, and all referendums are, let's seek the opinion of the public. But what then made it binding was what they did in Parliament by passing the acts that said, it was never binding that there was going to be a referendum. It was a manifesto commitment, so they had to put that through Parliament to say we are going to have a referendum. And after they'd got the result that they didn't want, it then becomes, and whatever the result is, it's going to be binding. And when they got the wrong result, it's like, oh dear, what have we done wrong now? Yeah, and Cameron went, and whole piles of other people went. So this is why people get confused about what happened, when it happened, who lied, who didn't. And I know Gary said it, but you know, if people want to believe what was on the side of a bus and vote that way, if people want to believe what, you know, the Tories are saying now and they want to vote them back into power again, there's nothing that the rest of us can do who are opposed to it other than opposing them. So you just put the opposite view in. You know, we all said what was on the side of the bus was absolute arrant nonsense. Unfortunately, a lot of people in the country voted for it.
But, I mean, again, the thing is, the problem is there that referendums are very dangerous thing because it's either yes or no. You don't get the nuances, Alf.
All referendums are like that. Yeah, I've often said it. They didn't have a referendum about whether to do away with the death sentence in the UK when they did away with hanging. There was no referendum. If that had gone to a referendum, I've got no doubt in my mind that that would have been overwhelming by the British public. No, we're going to keep hanging. So parliamentarians have to take responsibility sometimes to stop people going into that trap. And I still say it today, especially after we've just had, 42 years, was it, for that Armole who shot the little kid willy-nilly in the back of the house. If there was a referendum today on bringing back capital punishment, I am almost certain that the British public would vote for it. Mm. And I'm not saying the English public, I'm talking about the British public.
Got another call coming out, if I may.
Knee-jerk.
Knee-jerk indeed. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
My name is Brian, I'm calling from Callahunda.
Good morning. Morning, Brian.
Good morning. The only thing I'm a bit confused about is, I'm Irish, so I'm looking from the sidelines, and I've never lived in the UK. But it was all about getting back sovereignty. And they have back their sovereignty now, and, that's fine. But why, when they have people coming in from other countries, all these asylum seekers, and they're putting them out, today's news says they're putting them on barges, or they want to send them to Rwanda or wherever, if they're so short of foreign staff for picking fruits, why aren't they using those people?
Well, I mean, because presumably they've got to have their cases. You can't put people to work whilst they're waiting to be here, whether they're going to be allowed to stay in the country, presumably.
Well, I know, but get a move on with it. They don't have to talk to Europe about it now. They have their sovereignty. They can make their own decisions. They can speed these things up.
But
it just seems to me like they're throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
Indeed. Totally agree. I think we're with you on that one. Thank you very much for the call in there.
Okay.
952-78-4000 is the throwing the baby out with the bathwater again.
Lovely expression. There's a story about that. I don't know if you know how it actually happened.
In
ye olden days when you were but a little wee lad.
Yes.
But, I think this business of the... Now we're on the Rwandan subject. I've never
what
really...
What a fine country that is. Did you see Suella Braverman, our heroic Home Secretary of the day, claiming that Rwanda was a safe country, even though they've got footage of them shooting protesters? And the phone lines have gone mad, so hang on a second. Let's go live to the lines, OK? So, morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Swansea Jack on the Costa Blanca.
It's been a while, Swansea Jack. How are you, sir?
I know, it has. Yeah, well, normally I'm not in at this time. I listen to the repeat because it's market day here in Altea, which is a Spanish village.
I know Altea
so
very well.
I speak Spanish all the time, Giles, because this is a Spanish village. But it's nice to hear the little Englanders are on form as usual. And... After the last dinosaur, which who was speaking, and not the last one, but
say that was an Irish gentleman. Yeah,
the trade union blow. But it's nice to anyway. I'm not usually in at this time. But anyway, I've got a question. What do you call somebody who speaks three languages?
You call them Dutch, don't you, or something like that?
Yeah, no, actually it's trilingual, but anyway. What do you call somebody who speaks two languages?
Bilingual.
Correct. And what do you call somebody who only speaks one language?
Go on then.
English.
Boom. Here we go.
And as your Welsh grandmother would say, Giles, and there he was gone.
And there he nice was to, gone. Good to speak to you, Swansea. Glad to have you with us. Enjoy
the
your
captain of the Titanic.
Indeed. Nice to hear from you indeed.
Morning, yeah, you too, Giles.
Enjoy your market.
Leave it to it.
Take care. 952-78-4000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's me again.
Hello.
One thing that gets me going, it's this topic. Yeah, I did actually mean a third world country, but anyway, moving on.
But as I understand it, for some strange reason, a lot of the workers from the EU don't want to go and work in the UK. I can't think why, but they don't. There isn't the enthusiasm to still go and work over there. We've just had our wall rebuilt from a fantastic Polish builder. We had to have it done twice, and he has made the most fantastic job of it. And they're just such good professional workers that I don't know why we're not letting more of them back into the country. But the other thing is, my MP, can you imagine asking one of the ERG, Rees-Mogg, for example, contact your MP and tell him you're not happy, as John suggested? You'd get nowhere. And how do we know that a lot of people haven't rung their MPs to ask about? I'm sure loads of people did contact their MPs and got nowhere, because that's how the ERG are. They wouldn't even contemplate somebody wanting to go against the precious blooming referendum. And thirdly, my MP was at Matt Blooming Hancock, so how far would I have got then? You know. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Good to hear from you again, Sharon. 952 78 4000 is the phone number. In fact, I'll let Lucy give you the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers, 952 78 4000. To the WhatsApps we go. Oh, the irony of entitled Brits complaining about the countries of the EU using rules to protect their borders, which apply to all third countries, and to which the UK enthusiastically helped to make when they were EU members. To protect. Who would have thought that you could be in the EU and protect your borders? However, all those checks pale into insignificance when we see the ones that apply to people, often people in distress, trying to enter the UK. Thanks for that. Here we go, another one in, saying, I've been an American expat living in Asia for 7 years, and when I run into people from England, they say Brexit was about England wanting to control immigration versus having it forced upon them by Brussels. Meanwhile, this in from Julie. John, do you know how many petitions were signed? All ignored. How many millions marched? Virtually unreported. You weren't here. You don't know. And recycling Ritson's jokes from a fortnight ago. Listeners with material. That's all we need. I was going to say bye to the lines that we go. Meanwhile, excuse me, looking at some of the points coming in. Corny and Barrow, horny and shallow, as I call it. Very good. The irony is that the UK already had the best deal. It had opt-outs. It had veto power. It didn't need to use the euro. The establishment was hell-bent on leaving the EU because they stood to make a lot of money for it. So the lines we go. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello.
Hello, caller, you're live on TRE.
Yeah. Sorry, it's John again. I want to just go off the point of Brexit and
okay.
Current. But in the meantime, I just say, welcome to the dinosaur, Alf. I didn't realise you were a dinosaur. I really like him. He's a nice guy.
Tyrannosaurus Alf. I give you Tyrannosaurus Alf. He stalks the prairie, etc., with his mighty roar.
I just come up to like an up-to-date thing as well. This guy Cashman, who has just got 42 years for killing the girl,
Olivia Pratt Corbin. Yeah.
It's an appalling thing to have happened, but people seem to have lost context with it. He killed the girl sort of by accident. I'm not justifying it, but sort of by accident. In other words, he didn't go there intending to kill anyone. Well, he killed the guy he was chasing, and that's why he got convicted. But when you take another person who goes and picks up a child off the street, treats them in some abominable way, which I won't even suggest, and then murders them and leaves them, that's somebody who... What do you do with them? If 42 years isn't enough for Cashman, what do you do with the guy who does that? Picks up a girl or a child on the street, deliberately does something and kills them that they're intending on the child. You see the difference?
Yeah, you're talking about this, you know, somebody who has a premeditated murder or killing and abduction of a child. Gary,
I think this is what, you know, the point that Alf made about the death penalty. I don't know, John, what your thoughts are. I know your background. Would you agree, in fact, that just like the person you said, which is a malintent, somebody who actually goes out to do that deliberately and murder somebody, that is where the death penalty should be completely and utterly mandatory. Whereas, as you so rightly say about this guy, as heinous as it was, he didn't go there to shoot Olivia Pratt Coleman. He went there chasing this guy, which is totally wrong, of course, and he should be in prison for whatever. But he didn't go out there to. So I was surprised that they called it murder when, in fact, would it not have been manslaughter?
No, it was murder because he went there intending to kill somebody. It was the guy he was chasing.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He killed somebody else.
Yeah.
So the intent to commit murder was in his mind. And that's what proved the case.
Can you be found guilty for intent rather than action then?
Well, no, but he intended to do it. No, the difference between murder and manslaughter is that manslaughter is where you kill someone by an unlawful act, but without intent to commit the crime.
Exactly. Whereas, well, that's exactly what happened.
No, he intended to kill the guy he was chasing. So he had murder in his mind, as it were, and he accidentally or whatever killed somebody else. That is the intent, to kill somebody. It just happens to be not the person he killed. For people who don't understand the law.
Yeah, so
that's
so,
the difference.
So if you
murder
if you yeah
is with intent, murder is always with intent. You must intend to either kill or seriously injure somebody in order to be convicted of murder. And sometimes that's difficult to prove.
So if you're aiming at one guy, John, if you're aiming at the guy that's running away from you and you're going to shoot him in the back because you want to kill him and you miss and you hit the woman who's standing at the bus stop.
Yes.
It's murder.
Well, that's why the little girl was murdered. He didn't aim at the little girl.
Exactly.
It went through the mother's hand and killed the girl.
Yeah.
And I've had cases like that where like the person in between hasn't, the bullets passed through them and killed the person behind. That's murder because they intended to kill or seriously injure somebody.
Oh. Mm.
It wasn't a particular person, it's somebody.
Fair case.
But anyway, going off that, I'll tell you, the point I'm making though is that I mean, my brother was murdered. The guy got life imprisonment, did 9 years and came out. So, and I'm not arguing about it, that's fine, good on him. And in fact, I'm not even sure he was guilty of murder, but that's another point.
Right.
But as far as, like, this guy Cashman getting 42 years, he in effect didn't do anything as bad as the ones I say who go and pick up children on the street and kill them.
Yeah, like, but it's an emotive case, though, isn't it? Because it's been picked up by the media, you've got pictures of, and I'm not, this is not a defence thing, but, you know, cute 9-year-old, you know, mother turns up with a soft toy made of the daughter's clothing, etc.
Yep.
It's going to pull. You know how juries work. You know how trial by media works. You know, anything less than a half sentence is going to be seen by, is going to be decried by the media, and you know, cause outrage. So this is how it operates.
The thing is, how can it possibly be a such a long sentence? I mean, 42 years.
So 21 years. 20, what? So that's what, 20, 21, 22 years?
Well, no, they said without parole, isn't it? Or without release, whatever they call it in England.
Right.
Yeah, release license.
So it's a full term.
Release on license. But the point is, again, why such a strong sentence when there are people, which we see every day, who get put in prison for murder, who get 25 and they call it life, and then after 12 years they come out anyway.
Yeah. The mandatory sentence for murder is life imprisonment. And then the judge can recommend what they call a tariff.
Yeah.
But life imprisonment is the only sentence for someone convicted of murder.
Mm. Yeah.
But nobody has life. But they always have a predetermined sentence.
It used not to be. I mean, in my day, you got sentenced to life imprisonment, and then you came up for parole, whatever, and they decided whether you should be let out or not. But in his case, I haven't followed the case because I
whatever, but there were lots of other charges in there. So he had possession of the gun, the grievous bodily harm on, or no, intent to kill the mother. So if you add all those together and make them consecutive rather than concurrent, then you can obviously add a lot of years on.
Thank you for the calling. That was John. Quite a few topics, quite a few topics covered there. If you want to get your thoughts on this, should life mean life? Obviously, people calling for the death penalty. Then these are the numbers
to contact TRE. Please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And to the WhatsApps we go, let's have some bits and pieces coming in. Sharon just needed £10,000 for Matt Hancock's vote. Of course, led by Donkeys had this situation where they set up a sham South Korean company and approached MPs across the board to see if they would advise. And Hancock and Kwarteng said that they would be interested in doing that for, and their rates were £10,000. Considerably cheaper for myself, obviously. Meanwhile, we have some more things coming in saying lots of people, Alpha, idiots, thank you. Never put out a referendum in a country with idiots because they will tell you the worst answer. The words Boaty McBoatface spring to mind. Whenever people say referendum, I always go, this is a country that voted for Boaty McBoatface. I thank you. Yeah, you're agreeing with me on this one, aren't you, Gary?
Absolutely. It's so true anyway. I can't remember who, some philosopher who said, if you want to know an answer to a question, don't ask the general public.
Yeah. They ended up calling it the Sir Richard Attenborough, thank goodness. And, you know, hello, this is the good ship Boating McBoatface. We're taking in water. Meanwhile, death penalty should return for clear-cut cases like this. Why do we need oxygen thieves costing the taxpayer £40 billion a year to keep alive? 952-78-4000. Going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back into the last 17 minutes or so of Viewpoint.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the numbers to get in touch with us here on Viewpoint, joined live in the studio by Gary Waite. Thoughts on any of the subjects that we have covered, be it Donald Trump appearing, which will be later on today, that will give you blanket market coverage or blanket media coverage. We were talking also about the situation with, we've had those two, if you like, it's a bit retro, those two blasts from the past, Trump and Brexit. Those were the two large buttons I used to press back in the day, and people would phone in left, front, centre. Gary is struggling manfully with his headphones at the moment. You got some breaking news there, Gary, or are you just kidding yourself? Gary is now wrapped up in his glasses, his headphones.
It's not my headphones. I had to take them off to get my glasses on, and then I can't get the damn thing back on again. No, I was going to just say to you this amusing cartoon that came around the other day, and I'm sure most of the listeners will have heard it. It's Stormy Daniels said they had an affair. Donald Trump said they didn't. Who are you going to believe? The fake blonde with the big boobs or Stormy Daniels?
Tish Boom here all week. Thanks very much. To the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's Rexy Baby here. Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Tyrannosaurus Rex. Tyrannosaurus Alf. Tyrannosaurus Alf. That's a Rexy baby, right?
I'm not sure why.
Rex Leyland will be spitting his Darjeeling across the great. Yes, anyway.
Absolutely. That's my name for Rex. Rexy Baby. Oh, dear me. It just amazes me how people could get this. I'm not sure how you're a dinosaur for saying that you agree that people shouldn't keep complaining about what happened with Brexit, but could get on with change in the future.
Mammals would have said, we've evolved, get on with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I tell you what, though, I wish I was a dinosaur because they lasted for a lot longer than I think the human race is going to last for, because we're killing ourselves. And it's a shame that Felix and others and Jason haven't rung in about climate change, because seriously.
Careful what you wish for. Careful what you wish for, Alf.
I was just trying to speed up the last 10 minutes, because that's when you'll get 50,000 calls now about climate change.
Right.
Quite rightly on you.
Thanks
Good
very
program,
much.
Program, Giles, as usual.
Thank you.
Well done, Gary.
Nice to speak to you.
And you.
952-784-1000. Thanks. I think that was Alf just closing off the show for us there. Basically, 10 minutes. 10 minutes early. If you've got any thoughts, any thoughts on any of the subjects that we've talking about, the numbers 952-784-1000. The phone number studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Going to take a short break and then back. And brace yourself, because it's the last 10 minutes of Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Okay, into the last 10 minutes we go, and there's a caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live in TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate, I'm usually disagreeing completely with Alf on one point.
Okay.
Which is that when the MPs came to consider voting for the fact of a referendum, a number of MPs on all sides of the House were very concerned that, you know, such a big constitutional side could be settled just by a 51-49 issue. And they were assured by the government that, no, it would be advisory only. That's the point.
Yeah, it was always going to be advisory, and therefore they didn't really need to invoke Article 51. This was another legal loophole, wasn't it?
No, the point is that the MPs were concerned that exactly what happened was in danger of happening, and the government said no, it will be advisory only. Before the referendum was authorised,
that's all very well. But now there's not an awful lot we can do about it now. Then is okay. We voted. Get on with it, as the saying goes.
Pass.
NG, thanks very much. 952-784-1000. Any thoughts, by the way, Gary? Because Nigel Lawson passing away, the death was announced. And for those of us who were around in the 80s, and I mean, you know. Not at school or primary or following whatever.
No.
But you know, he was one of the stalwarts along. You know, well, he was Thatcher's chancellor, basically, wasn't he?
He was indeed. He was a chancellor for 7 years, I think. He was. He and Ken Clark. I mean, he of the brown suede shoes and all that lot. I mean, they were stalwarts of the Thatcherite years. And without sounding going back on things, I think in many ways the country was probably at its strongest then than it is now.
Unless you were obviously one of the miners, at which point, or the, you know, all the poll tax writers.
But don't you think, again, the trouble with anything like that, and this is where strikes happen, like with the railways, for instance.
Yes.
And Alf would be able to be far more eloquent about this than I. But the railways need to change to go forward. And the same with in those days with coal.
Yeah.
We had to go from coal to nuclear, or we had to go to gas, or we had to go to whatever it was. And it was changing in the work practices, which often upsets and annoys the unions. And the railways at this moment in time are absolute classics. I mean, the strikes by doctors and things like that are dreadful, because that is obviously pure finance, whereas they just need more money and they deserve more money.
Yeah, right, yeah.
By the by. But it's the practices, like, for instance, not having guards on a train, because now everything is so automated. Do you really need one? I don't know. I'm not a railway driver. I mean, I would have liked to have been when I was a kid, but didn't we all? But, I don't know. I think that we're experiencing much as things now that Margaret Thatcher experienced, and I think the present government are trying to be as strong as Maggie, and I'm not sure they're going to get
away
with
it. Well, they go back to that. If they're not going back to the Churchill playbook, as Johnson's trying to do, they're trying to go back to the Thatcherite playbook, as several others do. And you could, you know, I mean, Patel, Braverman, trying, I mean, I don't know if they're trying to invoke the spirit of the Iron Lady, but it's, you know, it's, I mean, Thatcher, like her, a loather, and she was, to put it mildly, Marmite, irrevocably changed the political situation in the UK from 79 to, say, 80, 84, 85, or 87 even, in the way that she broke the unions in a way that they've never recovered from.
No, absolutely not. And this is what I'm saying. This is now the worst union action we've seen in Britain for donkey's years. So, yeah.
952-784-1000. To the WhatsApps we go to see to what's coming in. Lawson was the chancer, more like. Thank you, Richard. A Eurosceptic who lived in France after Brexit, he sped up short-termism, sold everything for short-term gain, and that is why the UK is a third-world nation. The unions didn't help themselves, though. So that's encapsulates. You've got clowns like Mick Lynch. Okay? But, yeah, I mean...
I tell you what, though, that Mick Lynch is very eloquent. I mean,
oh, he's running rings around a bunch of idiot Conservative MPs who they shouldn't put up. It's just silly. It's, you know, because they just go up there and they're going, "Do what happened?" And he's the MP for Stoke-on-Trent, obviously my stomping ground, who was saying about no. He tried to double down by saying, "Was Mick Lynch going to apologise because it meant veterans couldn't get to certain services?" And then he tried to spin it to make it all about, you know, Mick Lynch hates veterans.com, which was quite something. Which quite refreshing to see you know, all his famous escalating treatment of Kay Burley on Sky News a couple of weeks ago as well, which was a masterclass.
Yes, he did a good job.
He beat her up.
Sorry, Kate.
An eloquent moron, you mean, who is accelerating the demise of his own industry. Mick Lynch advocated its members to vote for Brexit. Right. Almost out of time.
Yes.
If you want to get a phone call in and be the last caller on today's Viewpoint, you've got 1 minute and 40 seconds. Otherwise, you've got to listen to me and Gary. So, Gary, you've got a book out.
I've got another book out.
Come on,
Charles.
You've got 1 minute and 33 to talk about it.
Right, okay. Yes, it's my latest book, which is called The Actor, The Barrister and The Dropout.
That sounds like some sort of joke with a bishop in there somewhere. Yes.
But, yeah, it's all about a young girl in the 50s who gives birth to triplets from a Caribbean boyfriend, and we follow the lives of the three children as they grow.
Is this autobiographical?
And they obviously, we follow their lives from their adoption, and it's, you know, whether you become an actor, barrister, dropout, is anything to do with your family, or is it nurture?
Or you end up working in radio.
So anyway, I've available in all good bookshops. And if they're not there when you get there, just put an order in, especially if you're in San Pedro or Book World España. Just say
flying off the shelves, they are. Flying
well,
off.
They might be, or dropping off, whichever.
Dropping off the shelves.
And if you're around and about at La Sala on Sunday, I shall be signing
books.
Are you doing book signing? Yes. And then following Sunday, from 1 o'clock, lunchtime.
So you can go and you can have your Sunday loaf.
You can have your lunch. You can come in and have a drink and buy me a glass of wine and buy a book.
Exactly. Signed copies, pictures
signed
of the author.
Copies, of course. Yes, pictures with the author.
T-shirt, merchandise.
No, short-sleeve shirt.
Actually, a Gary Waite short-sleeve shirt. Perfect. I think we've just fostered a whole range of merch,
absolutely,
as the children would say.
Absolutely.
Listen, we're almost...
And then the following Sunday, I'm at Oceana Hotel and Beach Club.
And you'll be signing books there as well?
I will indeed.
The Gary Waite Book Tour. Right then, almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's Viewpoint. Thanks for all your messages. And my very great thanks to the always eloquent and eccentrically dressed Gary Waite. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, mate. Pleasure.
You'll be able to catch him at La Sala on Sunday. Oceania Sunday after. This show repeated at 7 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.